Hello, friends, family in Christ. Thank you so much for watching, for listening. Very important topic today. We are going to talk about the title of our show and how worldview matters. The foundations of Western civilization are being attacked. America is abandoning the values upon which it was founded. In the time span of a single generation, the vast majority of American young men and women are no longer being introduced to a biblical worldview, and the consequences are evident in the media and throughout society every day. Now, a new report from the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University has come out, directed by Dr. George Barna. It reveals that most adults in the U.S. do not believe in moral absolutes, and they live accordingly. That's a problem. We've got Dr. Adam Rasmussen here to talk about that next.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, as a fellow at the Cultural Research Center and the dean of the College of Arts and Humanities at Arizona Christian University, Dr. Adam Rasmussen draws upon 25 years plus of experience in Christian education. He specializes in biblical literacy, educational ministries, and Christian apologetics. He's been on the podcast before. Adam, welcome back. Good to see you, brother.
David, thanks for having me. It's good to be with you.
Yeah, important work that you do. My goodness. Let me just ask you, before we dive into this, and the research we're going to focus on first in the first half of the podcast is the insights into America's rejection of absolute moral truth. As you do the research, you and Dr. George Barna, and you get some of the results, and at any point, are you surprised? Are you shocked? Are you disappointed? Tell us from a personal level just how that goes when you're accumulating this research.
Yeah, we've done many of these studies, and we release a lot of these reports. And there's always something surprising, David. There's always something interesting to me. And my greatest ballast in my heart is the gospel, our crucified and risen Lord Jesus. We know he's on the throne. So through all the ups and downs of things that we might get excited about, but mostly a lot of it can be really quite sobering. I hold on to the gospel. And yeah, today we're going to talk about the way Americans are looking at moral truth. And I think when we say that every moral claim is exactly the same or has the same value, that's foolishness. It's digging a deep pit for ourselves in chaos, confusion, helplessness. And we just see all of that in the air. We see it in the news. People need a basis for truth, and because they've rejected God and the Bible, we're reaping the results of that, and that's kind of alarming.
Yeah, you mentioned chaos, helplessness, but the other thing it leads to oftentimes is hopelessness, because if this life is all there is, if there's no truth, nothing that you can have a solid foundation and just stand on, that's sad. And we know the truth. We know there is, God exists, and the truth is Jesus. So one of the things that came out of this study, 74% of adults trust feelings over facts to discern moral truth, and 2/3 reject absolute truth, and 9 in 10 embrace syncretism. We'll get to that. Well, let's just start, Adam, with feelings. Feelings. What could go wrong? Trusting feelings over truth or feelings over fact?
I love it. Keep singing. That's great. And I think about every Disney movie, they say to the princess, oh, trust your heart. What's in your heart, right? If we're going to make light of it. But when we look inside, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceptive, and we're not going to find the answers here. My feelings are up and down all over the place. Emotions are an important part of life, but it's no way to, as you mentioned, mark what eternity is or mark what good and bad are. Because those things they change so much. And I think part of it has to do with the rugged individualism we have in the U.S., which is a good thing, But when it becomes the most important thing, it becomes a bad thing, right? It becomes subjectivism, or this moralistic pluralism that's in the air. And people say foolish things like, that's true for me, and that might be true for you. And we're really, really sloppy in our definitions. And that cuts across even denominations and all throughout the U.S.
So I remember a response to that when someone says, that's my truth, or that's true for me, but not for you. My answer is, well, how do you know that's true?
Yeah, that's a great point. Exactly.
That's true for me, but not for you. Well, are you sure? Are you absolutely sure that's true? Talk about, there's a term here, integrated disciples, and then the fact that beyond half of the theologically identified born-again Christians in America, adults considered spiritually conservative, that's a cornerstone of evangelical Christianity, half admit to rejecting absolute moral truth. Our churches are not doing a great job, are they, Adam?
No, and it seems that we're very caught up again into how we feel in the day-to-day, but we're not wrestling with eternal matters, things that are unchanging, wisdom, those kind of things. And so you threw out some terms there, theologically identified born-again Christians or integrated disciples. Those are different. Not to throw a ton of numbers out there, but in America, 66% of adults would say that they're Christian. Okay, nominal Christian. That's what they identify as. But you mentioned the idea of an integrated disciple, someone who understands Genesis to Revelation. Okay, they understand the Bible is the Word of God, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. These are some basic ideas. And only 4% of Americans hold to that biblical standard. So there's a huge difference between cultural Christianity and then biblical Christianity.
Wow.
And so in between, we're having all these ideas about what truth is.
And that's what leads to syncretism. And that's where that comes in too, because people, maybe under the guise of misplaced tolerance, they want to give, I guess, the benefit of the doubt to other religions or cults or other things, other beliefs, whether it's New Age or whether it's, a Buddhism or something that's not going to exactly line up with biblical Christianity, but maybe it's cafeteria Christianity. Would that describe, well, that wouldn't describe syncretism, but can you help us, before we move on, Adam, help us define some of these terms? We've talked about syncretism before, but we do have a lot of newer viewers and listeners who maybe don't understand how that plays into the research.
Yeah, well, syncretism, cafeteria is a great way to describe it. It's a pick and choose type of religion. You could look at it as a playlist, right? So a lot of people are using Spotify or whatever on their phones, and they'll say, I want this song from that album and this song from that album, so on and so forth. So instead of seeing all of life is all integrated into the wholeness of Christ, right? As scripture tells us that there's an integrated worldview, they'll say, yeah, I'll accept Jesus when he talks about love, but when he talks about judgment, I reject that. I'll take something from, let's say, Hinduism or from Buddhism or from atheism. And so they create their own playlist, or they go through the cafeteria and they take a little bit of here and there. That's syncretism, and it doesn't work. There are contradictory statements that really don't work in life. And that's what makes people so confused and helpless and seeking identity and purpose that can only be found in Christ. And David, this is what's so alarming. 92% of Americans are syncretists.
Wow.
They claim that all of these things can be true for them somehow. But it doesn't lead to anything.
Well, how much of a problem is the fact that I think I read in the research that about being open-minded and accepting, they look at that as almost a virtue, and they place that higher than truth. Being open-minded and tolerant and accepting, and boy, that's a way to screw up your theology, isn't it? Your worldview.
It is, and unfortunately, a lot of these ideas of being open-minded is just a thin veil for being a coward or being sloppy in your thinking. And I can listen to people, I can empathize with people, I can understand them better as a Christian than anyone else because I have the love of God in my heart. But that doesn't mean I agree with them. It doesn't mean that I accept their claims. So we shouldn't be mush brains. I always told my students when I was a junior high pastor, don't be a mush brain. Love the Lord your God with all your mind.
Mm. Whoa, I forgot that was in there. Your heart, soul, mind. That's an excellent point. We kind of poo-poo that. We overlooked that because we think about the heart a lot. But that's right, with our mind too, our thoughts, our intentions, our focus, our energy. Briefly, Adam, what's the difference between pluralism and syncretism?
Well, syncretism, it would be the idea that I can take a lot of different ideas, concepts, practices, moral beliefs into my own frame, okay? Pluralism would be the idea that every religion out there, every claim is equally valid. So we wouldn't want to say Satanism is any worse than Christianity. So those are slightly different terms.
Okay, one more thing that is from this research, and then we're going to get to a chart on the demographic segments, which I find very fascinating. But roughly 6 out of 10 adults from this research assert that there can be multiple conflicting views of moral truth, and yet those conflicting views can be completely accurate. This, I'm reading this, I'm going, this is impossible though, right? They cannot all agree.
Yeah, it's extremely easy to debunk that. And what we found in our research is that a lot of times when people are, when we are given a chance to probe a little bit, people will back off of their first answers. So sometimes when we think that people are sloppy in their thinking, maybe just a careful reminder or a question might open things up. Just like you were teasing earlier, when somebody says something like, that's true for you and it's not true for me, then you ask, well, how can that be true? And all of a sudden, things open up. So it is untenable. You can't keep that viewpoint that all viewpoints are equal. It's just really sloppy thinking. And people may answer that in a survey, but I think when you actually engage them thoughtfully, lovingly, they'll say, yeah, that's true. That doesn't work.
Okay, so Adam, I may put you in a little uncomfortable situation here. Maybe not. I think you're a truth proclaimer and defender, but I don't want to pick on any particular religion or denomination. However, in the research, Catholics are the religion that most likely 75% of them adhere to this kind of moral open-mindedness. So they're the furthest away, it seems, out of the denominations, Protestant, Christian, Catholic. Why is that? They have a Bible. I mean, they go to, maybe they're not encouraged to read it as much as evangelicals are. Explain that for us.
Yeah. And, I'm not uncomfortable at all at talking about that. In fact, I talk on some Catholic, radio stations about this. And one of the hosts said, yeah, Catholics lead in a lot of things. And I guess we're leading in this one too, and it's not a good one. But you know what? Just tongue in cheek, I'll say this. They're at 69%, but mainline Protestants are at 61%. So we're not far behind, you know, if you're a Baptist General Conference or something like that. And then theologically identified born again Christians are at about 50%. So we've got a lot of room to improve. And back to the Catholic question, though, I mean, if we were going to guess what's going on there, it might have something to do with their definition of truth and where they're going to land on that. I know my upbringing and what we teach at Arizona Christian University is that truth starts with God in his character and in his revealed word. John 17:17, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. And we are not going to stray from that. And then from there, we can extrapolate other truths that relate to all of life, to science, to history, to all of that. And perhaps these other pockets, these denominations aren't emphasizing truth. I'm a student of Francis Schaeffer who talked about T truth, capital T truth, total truth, like the Bible is really true. It's truly true. And, you know, history and archaeology and all of that support that fact.
Love Francis Schaeffer. I knew I liked you for many reasons, Adam. So we got to take a brief pause. We're with Dr. Adam Rasmussen, Arizona Christian University, the Cultural Research Center. The website, culturalresearchcenter.com. We'll be right back.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Okay, Adam, let's open up this chart on absolute moral truth views of adults by demographics. And there's some interesting statements here. One of them being in the second category, it says there can be multiple conflicting moral truths in any given situation without anyone being wrong. Oh, my goodness. That's just one. Let's just start there.
Well, yes, again, I think this has to do with not just the teaching of the church, but perhaps the teaching of our public education system and the fact that in our higher educational system, since probably the 70s, definitely the 80s, with the introduction of secular humanism, okay, it used to be that people were taught the Ten Commandments, they understood the Greco-Roman Judeo-Christian ethic, okay? And we used to spend a lot of time on the liberal arts. But now it seems that people don't want to look at those absolutes. We do a lot of, you know, situational type of ethics. We talk a lot about different religions and cultures, and we want to be embracing of all these things, but we don't give people the ability to think sharply. So what I want for students and for anyone who's listening, of course, in Worldview Matters, is that we would have a robust moral philosophy. That we would say one of the most important things to flourishing as a human being is to know the difference between virtue and vice, to know the difference between good and bad, and to have our hearts trained in that way. So when somebody can say there can be multiple conflicting moral views in any given situation without anyone being wrong, that is the result of our secular education system. And yes, the claims are right there. That is what you get. That's the result. And there are better answers than that. We can wrestle with morals in a lot better ways than that.
Thank you. And thanks for the plug for homeschooling and online Judeo-Christian education, including Freedom Project Academy that we've been plugging recently. So go back to the first one there. Now we're talking again about demographic segments, absolute moral truth views of adults. I didn't want to pass this one up because it says a mature human, here's the view, the truth view, a mature human accepts different truth views to be just as valid as their own views. So the numbers seem pretty high. Upper 60s, Gen X is 70. Would you care to mention anything about that, Adam?
Well, I think it's actually a ridiculous statement. And I really don't think anybody here would ever feel that way. If you went to your employer and you said, I worked these many hours, we agreed to this, this is what my paycheck should be. But your employer said, yes, but I have a different moral compass. And for me, you need to be paid this. And nobody would say that that is equally valid. No one, you cannot live that way. But yet, this is the stuff that has been taught to people hook, line, and sinker everywhere. It's in Hollywood. It's everywhere, and it sells, and it doesn't make sense. So we have to peel that back, and we have to see, like, if we look at those who have no faith and the integrated disciples and things like that, it just, that statement is really clear at what it's getting at, or the question is, and we failed the test.
So what about perceptions? This third one here, perceptions of moral truth change over time and across cultures. Okay, yeah, perceptions of anything changes across cultures over time. But then it says, this proves that there is no absolute moral truth. No, it doesn't. But yet so many people believe that. Adam, just I scratch my head. I don't know. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the human heart wants to be its own God, right? We're idolaters, we're inward focused. And it's kind of at the end of Judges where it says there was no king. And so everybody did what was right in his own eyes. And so we've got confirmation bias. So we're trying to grab every little thing that will tell me I can do whatever I want. So perceptions of moral truth change over time. And then I make the false conclusion that proves that there is no absolute moral truth, when actually what it does is it proves that there is absolute moral truth, because what you stumble upon here is what's known as the reformer's paradox. So if you say like there is no absolute moral truth, then when we made a change, like MLK made a change or Abraham Lincoln made a change in the way blacks are treated in America, there was actually no good, because this claim here is that there is no absolute moral truth judging both of those things. But we all know that there is. And we, you know, it's enshrined in our Declaration of Independence, and then the Constitution builds that people should be treated as being made in the image of God with freedom, with dignity. And if we don't accept that, boy, we're going to have some problems. I don't think we can continue to talk about being Americans if we're going to get rid of absolute moral truth.
That's right. And there you bring up the ignorance when it comes to what people are educated about, and that means America's founding and our Judeo-Christian principles. But I do want to touch on the other survey briefly. But before we do that, I want to mention one more stat out of here. One out of every three adults contends that the very idea of moral truth is a social creation. And there's just so many other things that go on and on, but I want to ask you one of the questions here about truth views and this research. What are the long-term implications, Adam, for America and or the church in America?
I'm hoping that I'll talk about America first. I'm hoping that our moral heart, the core values of America, that the pendulum will move back to what really matters to people. And they will have to talk about moral absolutes that are based on the freedom of the individual, but also within boundaries that are compassionate and proven. Okay. And then I think it's impossible really to talk about those things that we treasure as Americans, as honesty and integrity and hard work and responsibility and trustworthiness and service. It's impossible to talk about those things apart from absolute moral truth. And then if the culture is going to change by God's hand, okay, as we've seen in revivals, we've seen in the Bible and through history, God changes the culture by changing the church. So David, you and I have seen that the church is following culture, but it needs to be the other way around. And it has happened. You know, you and I cannot make revival happen. We can't bring the fire, but we can cut the firewood. We can continue to build and to bring in the kindling and say, oh, Lord, use me and use this broadcast and send the fire. And then the church, you know, can really impact the culture.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. We can't bring the fire, but we can cut the firewood. Quote, Dr. Adam Rasmussen. Okay, briefly, yeah. We've got less than 4 minutes just to touch on this chart over in part two, the one that we wanted to talk about. I did anyway. Get your take on the slowly shrinking of Christianity in the U.S., and that benefits other faith systems. And basically, the research shows roughly 15 million Americans have joined the no faith segment, and that's in 5 years since the COVID pandemic. And bring up the chart, Jeff, and Adam can touch on whatever he would like to. We just got a couple minutes here, Adam, with the Christianity declining while other faiths and no faith, they're growing, not surprisingly, right?
Yeah. And I mean, we, as you pointed out, we're down 8%, an 8% loss in just, well, it says 7% there, in 5 years. And then these smaller faiths that are mentioned here, Judaism, Islam, Mormonism, things like that, they're up 39% when you add them all up. And those of no faith, there's a gain of about 3%. And for me, David, it's all time on task. If we're in the Word of God, it says faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of Christ. We need to shepherd our hearts towards the Bible and our children and our spouses and our friends and the people in our congregation. Christianity is this wonderful, C.S. Lewis called it the good contagion. And it's a social disease, if you will, yeah. But it's a good one. And love and service to others and thinking well and living well, that flows from the Bible. So as we've moved away from the Bible, we see these stats. Unfortunately, the only thing you have to do to be conformed to the pattern of this world is nothing. We will be conformed to the pattern of this world. We have to renew our minds in Scripture. So that's how I interpret that. It's time on task, and the numbers show it.
Yeah, briefly, I just want to mention there's another chart in this same research on adults who draw from various truth sources, and the number one and number two spots are astounding, where it says source of moral truth. Number one at 74% is feelings. There it is, feelings and personal emotions. Number two is the Bible. That's a pretty big gap there, Adam, isn't it? 1 minute, just share your thoughts.
Well, pastors have to stop talking to their congregation, telling them that they have the answers in themselves, or bringing messages that are directed towards the individual per se. We need to get back to enjoying a transcendent God who's all good, powerful, true, loving, and have him speak to us. And people really think that their feelings are more important than the Bible, and pastors and parents have to correct that.
Yeah. A big amen. Thank you for bringing it back to the pulpit, the church, which should be impacting culture and not the other way around. I think I read something about salt and light and those concepts in Scripture. Dr. Adam Rasmussen, thank you so much for your time and the research and the work that you do. CulturalResearchCenter.com. We appreciate all the things that you do, Dr. Barna, and just thank you again.
Thank you, David. My pleasure.
You're most welcome. Friends, God bless you, and as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.